The jobs report also showed growth in the consulting and finance industries, which added a combined 16,000 jobs last month. Every fall, consulting and finance firms arrive on college campuses looking for new recruits. At the University of Pennsylvania, for example, 30% of the class of 2015 went into finance. Another 17% went into consulting. We're joined now by Alexandra Michel, a professor of organizational studies at the University of Pennsylvania, and by Barbara Hewitt, the senior associate director in career services at UPenn. So, Barbara, do these fields have something that other fields don't, or do they just have more money for recruiting?
Actually, I'd say a little bit of both. I don't know if it's more money to recruit, but they put a lot of emphasis and effort on it. So they get out to the campuses, they do coffee chats with students individually. By the time other industries get around to recruiting, lots of our students are already off the market.
It feels as if the consulting and finance industries have a way of sort of vacuuming up the best and the brightest somehow. I've read that the idea of consulting and the big pitch is that, well, if you don't know what you want to do, come be a consultant. You'll learn lots of things, and it will be a good basis for you for other careers that you might go into. Barbara, is that something when you're advising a student who doesn't know what to do next, is that the kind of advice that you give?
I think it's a great career choice for many people because they also learn just basic skills about how to be professional, how to present, very analytical skills. So those are pretty transferable to a lot of other industries. So yes, I think the exit opportunities for consulting are very good.
Indira, your comment portrays this almost as a persuasive or rhetoric effort. And there's part of that involved. However, the content of the work should also be in the foreground. The content of the work is really interesting and exciting.
And let me ask you about that, Alexandra, because right after your undergraduate studies, you became a banker at Goldman Sachs for 4 years, and later you studied the effect of the banking work culture on bankers' health. So you have lived it from both sides. You have experienced what it was like to be a young investment banker, I think, under quite a lot of stress, and then you studied this connection among other bankers and their health. So tell us about that. What were the results of your widespread study? Not just your own anecdotal experience.
You know, I came into banking having some work background in Germany, where I worked for a German bank. And in Germany, you have a 35-hour week. So when Goldman hired me, I asked whether this would be a 35 or a 40-hour week kind of job.
Did they laugh at you?
They found it so funny, they slapped their thighs laughing. And so immediately, I got involved into a 100-hour-a-week work culture. You know, the people that go into investment banking have been hired partly on intellect, partly on resilience and stamina. Mm. So these are highly energetic individuals. And for them, during the first 4 years, when they work so hard, they have a cold here and there, they pack on 30, 40 pounds. They can deal with that. They can handle that.
But it can be a lot more than that. I mean, we have seen that investment banking in particular has been under the microscope this year after a string of suicides and suspected suicides of bankers who were being asked to work these 100-hour work weeks that you describe.
Please let me finish the consequences of this study, because during the first 4 years, there are no negative consequences on health and performance. But the interesting part happens after the first 4 years, when health breakdowns occur that are so severe that performance gets affected, but in an interesting way. Technical skill, the ability to do math, remains unaffected, and that's why banks sometimes don't take notice unless there is the outlier, such as a suicide. But creativity, judgment, ethical sensitivity, those decline. And then you might, another aspect to this is, why should we care if a banker's health breaks down? We know that public sentiment has turned against bankers, but here's what's interesting. They fan out throughout our economy and assume leadership positions in influential organizations. Goldman Sachs, for example, has been nicknamed Government Sachs because it supplies leaders to governments. Mm-hmm. And what they do, my recent study shows, is they replicate these fast-paced work practices in other organizations. So that's why we care.
All right. So I want to ask you, Barbara, is there a concerted effort or a consciousness at Penn to try to encourage students to go into other things that are not as lucrative? Or is that just a hopeless endeavor? Is it just a fact of life that students are going to want to go into finance and consulting above all?
Well, I have to say sometimes that is a challenge. I don't see my position as one in which I'm trying to persuade people to do something different that they may not want to do. Mm-hmm. What I do see as really pivotal in my position is making sure students are aware of their options, and that just because a lot of students go into finance and consulting, that doesn't mean that's the only kind of opportunities out there. For example, we have specifically an engineering career fair. We have a policy and government career fair, a creative career fair, a startup career fair. So we do bring lots of other kinds of employers to campus. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, I leave it to the students on what they feel is the best path for them.